Blog Talk Radio.
After the death of Solomon, God divided the kingdom of Israel into two houses. There were 10 tribes in the northern kingdom known as the Lost Tribes of Israel. They were cast out into the world because of their great sin against God. However, God promised in the last days he would gather these lost tribes back to Israel before the return of our Lord. Unknowingly, some of the churches made up of these lost tribes know as the house of Ephraim. God is now calling them to prepare to come back home to the land he gave our fathers. The call to prepare has been sounded.
Welcome, Ephraimites, and Shalom. This is your host, Mark Reinbold, and this is the House of Ephraim Show today. And we do have with us today, from Mount Carmel, Illinois, Sister Donna Deckard. But first, a word from our announcers.
And now, from Cradle of Hope, are some important announcements for you. This month, from Cradle of Hope, is a must-have gift offer, the transition of the church. God has transitioned the church since the days of the book of Acts. Don't miss out on this last and greatest move of God. Jesus Christ is returning for a church full of power and glory. This transition will bring the church forward. Send a gift of $25 or more. Call today and get free shipping if you ask for the Transition of Church gift offer. Call 618-262-2810 or go online at jewishprophet.com. Send a gift of $25 or more and ask for the Transition of the Church gift offer.
Hey, welcome back in the show. It's Mark Reinbold. Got a couple announcements to make before we get going here with our great, great show we have in store for you. I just want to remind everyone that we do have a website, www.jewishprophet.com. That's www.jewishprophet.com. And for all you new people out there, maybe the first time that you've been on, please check that website out. You're going to find out who we are, and you're going to get a hold of a lot of material that you've never seen before. And you want to check that material out because you're going to start to learn the Word of God. And I'm telling you what a great opportunity that is. We also have a quarterly coming up here, and you can get more information about that by clicking on the itinerary button on the front page there in the upper left-hand corner and find out what the quarterly and where it's going to be. It's going to be over in Fairfield, Illinois, out what we call lovingly the corn patch, and you can be a part of that and begin to learn the material straight from the throne room of God. And I'm telling you what, that is a great opportunity, folks. So grab a hold of this and begin to prepare and to plan and get yourself down here and find out for yourself what's going on, and you can become part of this last day move of God, the House of Ephraim. And again, you can get all that information out at the website, www.jewishprophet.com. We also have fellowships available online. So, you know, if you're out there and you don't have a local fellowship or you want to begin to learn about the material and begin to plug in with the material, not only do we have this blog every day, but we also have fellowships available online. That's via ustream.tv. And we have one on Friday night. I teach one myself Friday night. You can become part of that. There's also a Wednesday midweek service. And we teach only the prophet's material so that you're assured of learning the right material at the right time. What an opportunity, again, that all is. So, again, if you don't already have a fellowship in your area or you just are interested in learning more about what's going on, please consider joining up with that. And you can get more information just by emailing us at cradle@jewishprophet.com. That's cradle@jewishprophet.com. And just say, hey, I'd like to sign up for that Shabbat service that Mark was talking about, and certainly love to get you hooked up. If you want to do it just by the telephone, we can do that also. And you can give the office a call, 618-262-2810, and find out more about that also. Like I said earlier, we do have with us from Mount Carmel, Illinois, Sister Donna Deckard.
Shabbat shalom to everyone. And, you know, last week I told you that I was finishing up the Pesach teaching. And today, this week as I was praying and seeking God about what to minister, he reminded me that Prophet Deckard had done a piece of ministry called the Passover Lamb. And when we were putting together the Passover series, we did not add this to that because it was not long enough. It was a very short sermon that he had done. And so God began to deal with me, and so I am going to bring the scriptures. There are scriptures here that are not included in the Passover teaching that we have on the table. And so that's what I'm going to bring to tonight. So this is called the Passover Lamb, and it will be Pesach number 6 for my series that I am doing. Turn with me to Exodus chapter 12. Exodus chapter 12. Passover, Pesach. It means to leap or to pass by. And as we have studied before, God said that when I see the blood, I will pass over you. That death angel would pass over. And Passover takes place on the first month of the year. And you're going, well, wait a minute, Sister Donna, Rosh Hashanah is our new year. Yeah, that's true. But when you think about, we have the month of the first month of school starting. We have the month whenever we celebrate New Year's here with the Gregorian calendar. We have fiscal years that we use with our taxes. So God had Rosh Hashanah, yes, was the start of that. But when it came to the festivals, Pesach was the festival that sets the standard for when we are going to celebrate the rest of them. And so it was in the first month of the feast year, which was the month of Abib or Nisan. The killing of the Passover lamb, the sacrificial lamb, happened at sunset. And unleavened bread was used. And leaven is likened to sin. And that leaven was taken out of their homes on the 14th day of Abib or Nisan. So let's go look at Exodus chapter 12, verse 1 through 17. And we've read this other weeks. The Lord spoke to Moses and to Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, this month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. Speak ye to all the congregation of Israel, saying that on the 10th day of this month they shall take to them every man a lamb according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for a house. And if the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next to his house take it according to the number of souls. Every man according to his eating shall make your count for the lamb. So if your family was too small to eat that whole lamb, you would work with your neighbors until you had enough people that could eat the whole lamb. And you would come together to do that. The lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year, and you shall take it out of the sheep and from the goats, and you shall keep it up until the 14th day of the same month, and the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. And they shall take of the blood and strike it on the two side posts and on the upper door post of the houses wherein they shall eat it. And again, as we have taught, this is all shadows and showing Christ being taken. He died in the evening. He was on a cross. His blood was shed. And they shall eat the flesh in that night, roast with fire, and the unleavened bread, and the bitter herbs, they shall eat it, which is what we will do during that Seder on Sunday night, March 28th at 7:30. We will have the unleavened bread. We will have the bitter herbs, and we will eat them because that is the customary Seder of what we do for that, and that's what God instructed us to do. you shall not eat of it, verse 9, you shall not eat of it raw nor sodden at all with water, but roast with fire his head with his legs and with the pruteness thereof, and you shall not let none of it remain until morning. And that which remaineth of it into the morning you shall burn with fire. And thus shall you eat it with your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, your staff in your hand, and you shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. You didn't eat it in your pajama pants. You ate it with your loins girded, ready to go. Why? Because God knew that Pharaoh was going to kick them out of Egypt that night. God knew. Verse 13. 12, excuse me. For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, and I will smite all the firstborn of the land of Egypt, both man and beast. Against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. When God puts his stamp, his name on something, you can take it to the bank. It's going to happen. And the blood shall be for you a token upon the houses where you are, that when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And the plague will not be upon you to destroy you. And when I smite the land of Egypt. You see, that is one of the messages that God had Prophet Deckard to preach, was that if we were keeping the covenant, if we kept Shabbat, if we kept Passover, that the plague that would be coming, God, it would pass over us. We would have his protection. And that is what he told them through Moses and Aaron. He said, I want you to tell the people, you put that blood on your doorstep. You do what I'm saying about getting the leaven out. Get the sin out of your life. Be holy. You get that lamb. You make sure you do it exactly the way God had told them to do it, and I will pass over you. It is a token. It is a token for you. Verse 14, and this day shall be unto you for a memorial, and you will keep it a feast to the Lord throughout your generations, and you will keep it a feast by an ordinance forever. See where we got all messed up? Here we were as Christianity, we were off celebrating a pagan holiday. We weren't keeping Passover. We didn't know anything about it. But God said, you will do it for your generations. You will keep it as an ordinance forever. 7 days, verse 15, you shall eat unleavened bread. Even the first day you shall put away leaven out of your houses. For whosoever eateth leavened bread from the first day until the seventh, that soul shall be cut off from Israel. And in the first day there shall be a holy convocation, and in the seventh day there shall be a holy convocation to you. No manner of work shall be done in them. So the first and the seventh day are Sabbaths, save that every man must eat, and that only may be done of you. And you will observe the feast of unleavened bread, for in this self same day I brought your armies out of the land of Egypt. Therefore shall you observe this day in your generations for an ordinance forever. God repeated himself, didn't he? He wanted them to understand. He didn't want us to forget that we were to do this. Passover is a covenant for safety. It is a covenant God made with us for safety, the protection from the judgment of the world. But we have to participate. The blessing of the Passover is not for anyone except for the children who keep God's covenant. That's who it's for. The blessing of keeping Passover is for those children of God who are keeping his covenant. That's who it's for. I want you to turn with me to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. Now, this is the faith chapter. Look at verse 24 through 29. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer the affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasure of sin for a season. You see, he could have continued on as Pharaoh's, the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He was in line to be a king. But he chose not to. He chose to become who he really was, one of the Israelites. Verse 26, esteeming this reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasure of Egypt, for he had respect to the recompense of the reward. He respected the fact that he could be blessed by God. Not that he didn't care about the riches of Egypt. He cared about the blessings of God. Verse 27. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. 28. Through faith, he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of the blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. Moses did it by faith. He did it by faith. And I want you to get that in your spirit, man. God wants us to keep his covenant. He wants us to choose to live a righteous and holy life. He wants us to keep Passover by faith, believing that we have the promise and the protection and the safety of God, of that covenant, from the judgment of the world. And right now we're seeing the judgment of the world wind up. And you know what, Prophet Deckard, I was reading one of his prophecies this week, and he said that when that tsunami hit, that the one that hit, I believe it was Indonesia, when that tsunami hit, that was the beginning of sorrows. That set us at that point in scriptures, the beginning of sorrows. And he said that the judgments would wind up and become more and more and more. And we can look at the weather, we can look at a lot of situations. I mean, you look here in the U.S. at the storms that have happened, and they just come one after another, and they spread from one end to clear up from the Gulf Coast, clear up to Canada. God is sending that judgment, and his prophet said it's just going to wind up. It's going to snowball. It's going to get faster and faster and more and more and more and stronger and stronger and stronger. But we can be like Moses. And by faith, he kept Passover. He didn't have any more guarantee of God's protection than you and I have. He had to do it by faith. And what does Scripture say? You have to have faith to please God. And Moses pleased God when by faith he told the Israelites the instructions that God had given him. They had seen the 10 plagues that had come to Egypt, one right after another. And they had seen God make a difference between Egypt and Israel. And now God was saying that 10th plague, the plague of the firstborn, was about to happen. And he gave them specific instructions. God has given us specific instructions. He has told us what we need to do. through his prophet Deckard, he's given us keys to the kingdom that we can apply to our life, that we need to study and get into our hearts and be diligent to keep them. And by faith, we can believe. Let's go on, verse 29. By faith, they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians essaying to do, they were drowned. You see, you are going to pass through things, and the world's going to try to do what you did where you had God's protection, and they aren't going to have it. Did you hear me? You will pass through things. You will go through things, and it won't touch you. It won't hurt you. It won't harm you. You will have God's protection. And the world will try to follow you through, and they won't have that protection. Let's go to Luke chapter 22. Luke chapter 22. Verse 1 through 23. Now the feast of unleavened bread drew nigh, which is called Passover. So this helps us to understand the feast of unleavened bread is Passover or Pesach. And the chief priests and the scribes sought how they might kill him, for they feared the people. They feared the people. And they began to go, okay, how can we catch him? You know, you remember all through the Gospels, when you read the Gospels, over and over again, they were coming, they were trying to trip Yeshua up. They would set up scenarios. They would ask him questions, trying to trip him up, trying to get him to say something that was wrong. And he was the Son of God, and he outsmarted them every time. But now they're going, hey, how can we kill him? They were doing premeditated murder. How can we kill him? But they knew they had to be careful because they were afraid of the people. Verse 3. Then entered Satan into Judas's surname Iscariot, being a number of the 12. Let me tell you something. Darkness doesn't come from the outside. Darkness will worm its way from the inside and cause turmoil. And darkness came in. Here was Judas Iscariot, one of the 12. And Satan entered his heart. Why? Because somewhere along the line, Judas got disgruntled with what Yeshua was doing. He got disgruntled. Something happened inside of his heart, and he was like, this ain't right. And Satan entered his heart. And he went his way, and he communed with the chief priests and the captains how he might betray him unto them. This didn't happen by chance. This was all orchestrated by the Spirit. You know what God said? Nothing happens by accident. This was the appointed time for Yeshua to die on the cross as a sacrificial lamb. And they, verse 5, and they were glad, and they coveted with him to give him money. And he promised, and he sought opportunity to betray him in the absence of the multitude. See, they cautioned him. They said, you got to do it when he's off by himself, when he doesn't have all the people around. But you being one of the 12, you'll have that opportunity. And we will pay you for it. The scenario is being set up. Then came the day of unleavened bread, the 14th day of Nisan, when the Passover must be killed. And he sent Peter and John, saying, go and prepare us the Passover that we may eat. And they said to him, where will you want us to prepare at? Where are we going to do it at, Yeshua? And he said, I want you, he said to them, behold, when you enter the city, there will be a man meet you bearing a pitcher of water. Follow him to the house where he entereth in. Now, how did Yeshua know that? He knew that by the Spirit. Remember whenever he'd be preaching and he would hear the thoughts of the scribes and Pharisees and he would call them out on it? Remember when Prophet Deckard would say, I hear you talking against the wall against me. He perceived through the Spirit. He knew there would be somebody, a man, bearing a pitcher of water. And he said, follow him to the house and where he entereth in, and you shall say to the good man of the house, the master says to thee, where is the guest chamber where I shall eat the Passover with my disciples? Let me tell you something. When God has you to do something, he works on both ends. God works on both ends. God had already spoke to the good man of the house to have the guest chamber ready. He had already done that. When the disciples showed up and said, the master says, where's the guest chamber that I could eat my Passover? It was no surprise to the good man of the house. He already knew. God had prepared him, and he prepared that room. Look in verse 12. And he will show you a large upper room furnished and made ready. It had been Passover cleaned. The leaven was out of there. It was ready. And when the hour was come, he sat down and the 12 apostles with him. And he said to them, listen to this. I want you to listen to this. With desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. Yeshua knew that he was going to suffer. He knew he was going to die. He knew that he was a sacrificial lamb. And it was with desire that he had desired to eat this Seder with his 12 apostles. That included the one who betrayed him. The Bible says they didn't take Yeshua's life. He laid it down. Verse 16, for I say unto you, I will not any more eat thereof until it be fulfilled in the kingdom of God. And he took the cup and he gave thanks and he said, take this and divide it among yourselves. For I say unto you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God shall come. And he took the bread and he brake it and gave thanks. And he said to them, this is my body. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Likewise, the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the New Testament of my blood, which I shed for you. They took communion. This was not part of the Seder script. Yeshua was explaining to them that he was going to die. It was him saying, you eat this bread and you drink this cup because I am giving my body. I am shedding my blood as a sacrificial lamb for your sins and the sins of the world. Communion is taken during the Passover Seder. And when you use our Seder book that we have, the communion service included in it. They didn't understand. They didn't understand what he meant by his body. They didn't understand what he meant by his blood. He had told them that he was going to die. He had told them that he was going to leave, that the Holy Ghost was going to come. He had told them all this stuff, but it went over their head. They didn't understand. How many of you can understand that there are things that Prophet Deckard ministered and you didn't understand it? But later on, as you began to study again the material, there would be something that you would see and you'd go, I don't remember him saying that, but I know I was at that quarterly. I know I've studied this before, and it's right here in digital form. It was there. It's his voice. No one came and changed it and added it. But you see, you couldn't understand it. And by the anointing, Yeshua was speaking the words, and it went into their hearts, but they didn't understand. How do we know? Because they didn't believe the resurrection. They didn't believe the resurrection. Verse 21. And behold, this is Yeshua still talking, the hand of him that betrayeth me. Yes, Yeshua knew who it was going to be. He said, the hand that betrayeth me is with me at this table. And truly the Son of Man goeth as it was determined, but woe unto the man with whom he is betrayed. They began to inquire among themselves which of them it was that would do this thing. Who would have the audacity to betray our Lord and Savior? Peter, will it be you? John, surely you wouldn't do it. They began to inquire among each other. There's another rendition that they began to say, Lord, is it I? Lord, is it I? But Satan had entered Judas's heart. This was not by chance. It was not by chance. We have been commanded to keep our heart with all diligence. All diligence. Judas had a problem with money. He was going to make some money to betray our Lord and Savior. I'm sure that's not at all the reason, but Satan had entered his heart. 1 Corinthians chapter 5. 1 Corinthians chapter 5. We're going to start in verse 7 through 8. Purge out, therefore, the old leaven, that you may be a new lump as you were unleavened. For even Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. Right there, it tells us he became the sacrificial lamb. Right there. For Christ was our Passover and his sacrificed for us. But what do we have to do? We have to purge the leaven, the sin. We have to purge the sin out of our lives. We have to determine that we're going to stop the sin. Repent. Turn from your sin. But we have to do it. Therefore, let us keep the feast, not with old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice. That's getting even with somebody. Or wickedness. But with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. We are to have the unleavened bread, the whole holiness, with sincerity and truth in our lives. Yeshua became the sacrificial lamb. But it's going to take more than that. What did it do? They had to bring that lamb in. They had to make sure it was without blemish. They had to do it a certain way. You and I have to get the sin out of our life. Yes, Yeshua is the sacrifice for us to be forgiven for that sin. But what did we do? God, forgive me for my sin. And then we go back and do it again. God, forgive me for my sin. And we go back and we do it again. And do it again. And do it again. And God says we are to receive the forgiveness and walk in holiness and righteousness with sincerity and truth. Get the leaven out of your mouth. Get the leaven out of your life. Excuse me. Get the leaven. Get the sin out. Luke 23. We've been there, but we're going down to verse 44. And it was about the sixth hour. That's noon. And there was a darkness over all the earth. Now, a few years back, we had a eclipse locally where it totally got dark. It was so interesting to watch because all the birds, they began to settle down like they do in the evening. But it was noon. It was noonday or 1 o'clock. I don't remember the time exactly. But they all began to settle down, and you began to hear the chirping of the crickets. And all the night sounds began to be made, and it began to get dark. And it was dark, and there was different lighting effects that happened. It was very interesting to experience. But it only lasted a few minutes. And then the light began to come back. And I'll never forget, it was so interesting because it looked like a sunrise all the way around, 360, as it began to be over. But this was different. It started at the sixth hour. It started at noon. And there was darkness over all the earth, not just one section of the earth, until the ninth hour. That's approximately 3 o'clock. So for 3 hours, there was darkness over all the earth. Do you think that made them wonder what they had done? You bet it did. That was something that had never happened before. There may have been eclipses that happened in different areas, but there had never been darkness for 3 solid hours at noonday all over the earth. The sun was darkened, and the veil of the temple was rent in the mist. The veil was rent. You see how important that was? God said, we are transitioning from the high priest being the only one who can come in and make atonement for the sins. Now Yeshua has made atonement for your sins. And now you and I, we can walk into the Holy of Holies. We can walk into his presence. Take it for granted. We take it for granted. We don't understand how precious that is, that we can get into God's presence in our prayer closets, wherever we're at. The veil was rent. No longer did you need the high priest to go sprinkle the blood for your sins. Now, the blood had been shed by Yeshua. And now all you need to do is ask, and you would receive. And we abuse it. And we don't really think about it. Yeshua, can you, I cannot imagine knowing that you are going to die on a cross, knowing that, and he said, I have desired to have this Seder with you. Why? Because it was the whole purpose of why he came down. It was the reason he came down to be that lamb. He came down for that. Verse 46. And when Yeshua cried with a loud voice, he said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And having said thus, he gave up the ghost. He gave up the ghost. Let's look at a different rendition. John chapter 19, verse 30. It all came down to Yeshua giving up his life. They didn't take it. He gave it up. He gave it up. He said, God, I give you my spirit. I put it in your hands. I have become the sacrificial lamb for the sins of the world. John 19:30, when Yeshua therefore had received the vinegar, he said, it is finished. It is finished. He had completed everything that you and I need. It was finished. It was done. Complete. He bowed his head and he gave up the ghost. He gave up the ghost. Gave up his spirit. You know what's amazing? He is the only God that has died. But after 3 days, he arose and he's alive. And he was seen by not only the apostles, but he was seen by other people. And then he rose up and he ascended in a cloud after 40 days. And he told them, just as you see me going up in bodily form, I will come again in bodily form. Keep your eyes on the eastern sky, he said. Keep your eyes. Our God is alive. Yeshua is not dead. He arose from the grave. And you and I can celebrate that every day of our life. He conquered death and sin for you and I. That is why when we make the excuse of, oh, I can't overcome this, it's already been overcome. Yeshua overcame it. All you have to do is get the leaven out. Walk in holiness. Slap your flesh. Demand it to be under control. But we make excuses. And we all do. We all do. We all make excuses. Now, I want to notice there that it says that he received the vinegar. And I mentioned this. I mentioned this in one of the other services I did. But there are four cups that you take during the Seder. And it is believed that Yeshua took three during that Last Supper, as we call it, that Seder. And the fourth one, he was that vinegar that he took on the cross. And he cried out, "It is finished. It's complete. It's done." Turn with me to Exodus chapter 6. Exodus chapter 6. The four cups. The first cup is a cup of blessing. The second cup is a cup of deliverance. The third cup is a cup of redemption. And the fourth cup is a cup of completion or glorification. Exodus chapter 6, verse 6. "Wherefore say to the children of Israel, I am the Lord, and I will." Need to underline, "I will." "I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians." That was the first cup of blessing. He said, "I'm going to bring you out from underneath the burden of the Egyptians." Then he says, "I will." "I will rid you," or free you, "out of their bondage." That's the second cup, the cup of deliverance. "And I will rescue or redeem you with a stretched out arm, with special vigorous action, with great and mighty acts of judgment." That's the third cup of redemption. And did he bring them out? Yes, he did. Did he bring them out with vigorous action, with mighty acts of judgments? Yes, he did. And Ephraim, he's going to do it again. We are in the midst of the time of sorrows. And God is bringing the judgments. And he will bring us out. The redemption will come, Ephraim. But they had to go through the time of the judgments. But it didn't affect them. Why? Because they were keeping his covenant. Verse 7. "And I will." This is the fourth cup. The cup of completion. The cup of glorification. "I will take you to me for a people. And I will be your God. And you shall know that I am the Lord your God, which bringeth you out from under the burden of the Egyptians." God said, "I will make you my people. I will put a difference between you and the world." That is all part of why we keep the Seder. We have been made his people, and he is our God. And he has brought us out from the burden of the world. Passover. I want to read to you some of the things that happened on Pesach. God demonstrated his mighty power on Passover. above all festivals, he exalted Passover. Passover is one of the most important ones. He exalted it. To Abraham, he revealed Israel's destiny on Passover. In the heat of the day, he knocked on the door of Abraham, although it was a tent, on Passover. Abraham served the angels cakes of unleavened bread on Passover. And he ran to the herd and he fetched the offering on Passover. The Sodomites provoked God and were consumed by fire on Passover. Lot separated from them and baked unleavened bread on Passover. God swept the land of Egypt when he passed through it. He swept it like a broom. He swept it of all the judgment of the gods. He showed them that their gods could not do what he could do. And he swept it on Passover. God smote every Egyptian firstborn on the watch night, Passover. And God passed over Israel's firstborn on Passover. God permitted no destroyer to enter Israel's door on Passover. The walls of Jericho fell on Passover. Do you see the pattern here? God delivers on Passover. Midian was destroyed by a loaf of barley bread measuring an omer on Passover. The Assyrians were burned in a mighty act of God on Passover. Sina cherub met disaster at Zion's gate on Passover. The hand wrote on the wall on Passover in Babylon. The revealing city met its doom on Passover. Queen Esther assembled the community in a fast for 3 days on Passover. Haman was hung on the gallows 50 cubits high on Passover. And a twofold punishment God will bring to our enemies on Passover. God's right hand will be lifted up on this hallowed feast of Passover. Is keeping Passover important? Yes. Throughout your generations, forever, forever, there is a protection that comes from keeping Passover. Let's pray. Isha kalama hadabe kodamisa. Isha lama halabe kalaba halabo lidisa. Marande maromokoshe kalamoho makaha. Yalamake lamokore misi karamaka. Ishakaha. Okoribishakaha. Ishakaramasheho. Some of you tonight, you have never fully kept Pesach. You have never done it. Maybe you've just viewed the Seder, but you just went ahead and maybe you didn't keep the first or the last day as a Sabbath. Maybe you ate leavened bread throughout the week. Maybe you said, I don't know how to have unleavened bread. I don't know how to do it. Do it to the best of your ability. God looks on your heart. If you need more instruction, call the office, email us, we'll send you out a Passover sheet. It's got recipes and instructions for it. Yay, Karamahai. Right now, if you have done that, you need to repent. You need to ask God to guide you and to help you. He's pricked your heart tonight. He has told you, look, I want you to do this year. Make adjustable steps. Yay, Karamakaha. Yay, Karamaharamakaha. Ushikaha. Ushikaha. Ne Koromoshikaha. Isikoho. I want to pray for those of you who are sick. You know what it is. Put your hand wherever it is. Someone, you've got a sore throat. You got a sore throat. Put your hand on your throat. Yay! 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 Ushakahai! 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 Father, I pray for thee. I pray for that throat. Satan, you take your hands off of them. Take your lying symptoms and leave. In the name of Yeshua. Yay. They are healed. They are healed by the stripes of Yeshua. Yokoramashikaha. In Yeshua's precious name. Yay, Kohoshika. Father, I speak to the other things, the people that need healing right now. Oh, Yakaha! I speak to that baby having seizures. Satan, I bind you. Yakaha! Release that child in the name of Yeshua. Yay, Kahai! Release that baby! Kusha Kahai! Yikaramakaha! Father, I send forth the angels. I speak healing. I speak peace at that baby. Oh, Yakahai! In the name of Yeshua. In the mighty name of Yeshua. Be healed. Father, I pray for the parents. Give them peace. Yay, Karama. And the doctors, give them wisdom. In Yeshua's precious name. Amen. Amen. Prophet Mark, I turn it back over to you.
Hey, thank you again so much. That's Donna Deckard, Mount Carmel, Illinois. Cradle of Hope Ministries. Again, you can get more information out at the website, www.jewishprophet.com. Get out there, do yourself a favor, find out what's going on here, and you won't be disappointed. So again, you can also get more, all the tape series is out there on the website for you to get a hold of. I greatly encourage you to get all that. You can also email your prayer request to cradle@jewishprophet.com, and we'll be praying for your prayer request. Again, that's cradle@jewishprophet.com. Shalom. Until next week, remember, with God, all things are possible.
Adon Olam, Asher Malach, וטרם כל יציר נברא